Welcome and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. On this week's episode, NAHU Legislative Council Vice Chair Jessica Watts joins NAHU's Marcy Buckner to recap the 29th Annual Capital Conference. We'll look back on the week, including the special lineup of speakers, breakout sessions, lobbying visits, and events, and how NAHU members from across the country helped to shape the healthcare agenda for the 116th session of Congress as lawmakers increasingly seek bipartisan solutions to healthcare reform. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and to rate us. The podcast is posted every Friday on these platforms ahead of being distributed through NAHU's member-exclusive health policy newsletter, The Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. Jessica, thank you again for joining Marcy and myself for this week's episode. Before we get too far into recapping Capital Conference, can you tell us about yourself, your role on the Legislative Council, and how you became a Capital Conference attendee and ultimately this year's Master of Ceremonies?
Yes, I'm happy to do that. My name is Jessica Watts, and I originally got involved with the Legislative Council about 7 years ago. I was really interested in legislative issues. It came naturally as part of my background, which is compliance and regulatory for employer-sponsored group health plans. And so I found myself reading regulations, always very interested in the comments that NAHU was providing, and it just naturally seemed like a good fit for me. So as many people say, it wasn't until I attended my first Capital Conference that I really caught the bug. And once you attend CapCon, you never want to miss a CapCon because you just learn so much. You meet so many great people and you see how the actual process all comes together here in Washington, D.C. So with that, I served my 4-year term on the Ledge Council and termed out because you do have a limit of how long you can serve on that very prestigious committee, and took about a year off. I was involved also in the state level as the state director of Ledge Affairs for Texas, and that kept me quite busy, but my true love is truly federal. And so when the incoming President-elect Pat Griffey asked if I would be interested in being vice chair and coming back on the Ledge Council, it was an easy yes for me. So that has been my path.
And Jessica is leaving out all of the working groups she's been on, the compliance corner, I think employer working group as well. She has just been very integral to not just the Legislative Council, but also the working groups and providing invaluable input for our comment letters that we've used over the past several years.
So Jessica, what drove you to get involved on legislative issues with NAHU?
Definitely the compliance and regulatory background, like I discussed. I was finding that just being the kind of compliance nerd that I am, I had a great relationship with Marcy and Jessica Waltman and Janet, and we would get into these really great discussions about the issues that we were seeing, you know, whether it was through with employer groups or the individual market in the Medicare space. You get a lot of feedback, like your local chapter meetings are a great place to go to see the issues that agents are having and experiencing across the country. So all of that information is really valuable. And so we really need people to take that information that's being gathered and then apply to serve on a national committee so that all that information can be used by the staff at NAHU. So that was a huge driver for me to be involved in that process.
NAHU is thrilled to have HHS Secretary Alex Azar address this year's conference. Why is this so important, and what were your main takeaways from his remarks?
So that was amazing, and Marcy is grinning right now. We are both so over the moon to having such a prestigious guest come and speak to us. And our members were amazing and showed up in droves. They were in their seats supporting him, and I'm really proud of the membership of how they treated Secretary Azar.
One of the reasons why Secretary Azar was so willing to participate in our Capital Conference was because of those comment letters that we were talking about earlier. Our association continuously comments on the regulations that are coming out, not just from HHS, but also the Department of Labor and Treasury. But most recently, our comments on the association health plan proposed rule, short-term limited duration plans, and HRAs have really shaped the reputation that NEHU has in the policy world, not to mention some of the requests for information notices that have come out from all of the agencies that we also responded to. So we were really excited to have him come, but also for the recognition of the contributions that we make to those comments, and also the contributions that our members have given us, because we cannot write these comment letters without all of you giving us the feedback that you have from our working groups down to our members that email us with their personal experiences. So it took all of your efforts to get him here, and we were so happy to have him and for those that were here to be able to see him.
For sure. And I know one of the comments that the secretary made that struck me was the fact that he said himself he has received a balance bill. And he knows the pain that consumers experience when that shows up in your mailbox and you don't understand why. In fact, he even went so far as to say that you as an agent can even sell a plan to yourself, or at least be familiar with the plan that you're selling, and you could still end up with a balance bill. You can even work for the insurance company that is paying the claims and still end up with a balance bill. So these were some of the kind of sound bites that he had that I think really captivated the audience. The fact that he really understood the consumer's position.
He did a great job at hitting on our points. The surprise balance billing, like Jessica just mentioned, also putting out and kind of almost repeating back to us some of our talking points that we have opposing Medicare for All and single payer systems, and why that won't work, and why there needs to be a real focus on containing costs, increasing competition, and increasing access to care.
In addition to Secretary Azar, we also heard from other Trump administration officials, members of Congress, and other industry stakeholders, including the coalition NEHU is working with to oppose Medicare for All. What were some of the highlights from these speakers, and what are the benefits that attendees get from hearing from these speakers?
Well, I think for a member who has not been to CapCon, which I hope changes after you listen to this podcast, you know, it's easy to read Washington Update and, you know, get involved on the local level, even the state level, and not really understand the work that's happening in DC, or not really be able to wrap your arms fully around everything that the NEHU staff is doing. So things like, you know, working with the coalition, for example, when we in the audience are able to listen and understand the immense amount of legwork that the staff here in DC is doing to fight for the members of this association, and they get it. And then to have other members of the coalition band together and they understand it too. The more people and groups that you can get together to brainstorm and come up with solutions and fixes to the problem, that is ultimately going to result in a better environment for all of us to continue to work in.
And for me, the exciting part of having so many folks from the administration come was really that as much as we talk about these proposed rules, and as much as we then tell you when they're final rules, how to comply with them, these were the people that are actually working to write those regulations. And we were able to hear directly from them. John O'Brien was one coming and speaking about the recent proposed rules to control prescription drug costs. We also heard from Brian Blaze that was very involved in the HRA proposed rule, and we'll have a final rule coming out from that soon. And then Randy Pate, who is the head of healthcare.gov, and to whom we just submitted our comments on the 2020 notice of benefit and payment parameters. So it was just so great to put kind of a face with a name, and also really show that these aren't just documents that are churning out from a faceless government. These are real people, and they're here, and they can answer your questions in real time while you're sitting there in the audience. And that was just really powerful for me to watch and see our members reacting to that.
In addition to the general session on NEHU's efforts to combat Medicare for All, NEHU CEO Janet Trautwein also presented an in-depth look at other countries' single-payer systems as they compare with legislative proposals introduced in Congress and in the states. Jessica, were you able to attend this session? And if so, what were some of your takeaways?
I was at that session, and it was amazing. I was really blown away by Janet's knowledge. I know she's been doing quite a bit of work with her studies, specifically going to London and researching and learning about some of the single payer systems that are present in those countries. I think her knowledge that she brought to the table for that particular session was just another example of how strong she is and how much she understands and grasps the issue. Specifically, I think that for me, I was blown away by the fact that, you know, you have other countries who don't necessarily allow their doctors to, and this is a general statement kind of as my takeaway from the session, but you have doctors who don't necessarily get to choose the path that they may be on. In order to get their education paid for, they may be told what specialty area they will practice in. And that's very different from the system that we have here in the United States. They're also not generally as well compensated as physicians are here in the United States. And then they also do not have a structure where the medical advice that they're providing is questioned by an insurance company. And so the patient-doctor relationship truly is that. And so if a medical procedure is recommended by the doctor, that is what happens. Now, on the flip side of that, you also have situations where, because of some of the ways that the care is paid for and the taxes that are imposed, and there's a lot of additional tax burden for their citizens. So that was very educational for, I think, everyone in the room, specifically when we start hearing about the long wait times because of the fact that the system can be somewhat overwhelmed. And you have people who, I think Janet gave the example of someone that may have a really bad rash and they need to get to a dermatologist. You know, generally in the States, I can make an appointment with my dermatologist and get in that afternoon or maybe the next day. That particular person may have to wait 7 weeks. So those are some of the trade-offs for the fact that they perhaps have a what you would call a more affordable solution, but yet they have the longer wait times in exchange for that.
There were several other breakout sessions at this year's Capital Conference. Marcy, can you elaborate on these and what attendees were able to get out of these sessions?
Sure. Some of the other breakout sessions included some of the hot topics that we've kind of touched on earlier. Association health plans. We had some of our experts, Carol Taylor and Annette Bechtold, who have done, I think, over 5 hours of programming just on AHPs in webinars and different sessions like these, and going over the compliance for the new pathway for association health plans. They were joined by Heidi Sterner, who moderated our panel, with a guest from the Small Business Majority, John Arensmeyer, to talk about the challenges and opportunities that are here with the new pathway for AHPs, the current pathway, and then, of course, the other pathway is maybe it's not a right fit for you at all. And I know I had some folks that came out and said, well, I decided that I needed to go to a different breakout session because I learned my state doesn't even allow AHPs because the states have taken different positions on these. And so some were just made aware even of that and were able to take the opportunity to go to another breakout session, such as our session on the upcoming final rule on health reimbursement arrangements. Our session was called What to Expect When You're Expecting an HRA Final Rule.
Which, by the way, was a very popular session title. Who came up with that, actually?
I did, Jessica.
Oh, really?
And it's funny because John O'Brien and Brian Blaze from the White House just thought it was adorable. So I'm glad that they appreciated it.
Especially
the pun.
Because I think they both said they have multiple children, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
They knew where that title came from.
And David Smith, our most recent Gordon Award winner, was leading that session. And I think folks really were able to hopefully put their minds at ease a little bit more about what we could be seeing in the next couple of months. Although we have also cautioned with the administration, if we don't get a final rule soon, that we may be waiting another year before we can expect to see these actually going into play because of when the carriers will have to apply for putting together their plan designs. And then we, of course, had our breakout session on Medicare and the implementation of Medicare in the 21st century and going over some of the changes, most recently the changes with the OEP and that one-time ability within your open enrollment period to change between Medicare Advantage plans that went into effect this year. I know several people have been really excited about that change in Medicare, and NEHU was at the forefront to make that happen.
The main purpose of Capital Conference is for NEHU members to collectively lobby on the Hill with a loud and unified message on our federal priorities. Jessica, which legislators were you able to meet with? What issues did you discuss? And what action items came out of these meetings?
So I actually had a very ambitious agenda planned with several meetings lined up. The one that I want to focus on is that I crashed the team from our East Texas chapter. And those ladies and one gentleman are so impressive. And the reason that I wanted to mention them is because we met with their representative, Louis Gohmert. Representative Gohmert has been in Congress for a number of years. He is quite the historian and knows a lot about not just the history of Congress, but we discussed during our meeting with him all the way back to talking about George Washington and how he died. And it was just a very fun conversation.
Did George Washington need better health care?
Yes, he did.
Is that the problem?
They think he died from strep throat and that he apparently was drained of his blood at least twice, because at the time they thought that, you know, there's obviously like something going on, like an infection, and if you drain all the blood out of your body, that should fix it. But unfortunately, that actually needs you to have a blood transfusion. So that was not the right solution at the time. So it was a fun conversation with Representative Gohmert. I have been wanting to meet with him for many years because the East Texas chapter has just a wonderful relationship with their representative, and they have spent many, many years solidifying their relationship, and it's so obvious and it shows because of the respect that he has for them. He calls upon them for help and advice and their opinion. So he actually asked quite a few questions. He's a huge proponent of the HSAs. And so we had some questions about how we can make HSAs better for people. We discussed the fact that it would be great if someone could maybe have a few sick visits paid for, first dollar coverage, but still be eligible to contribute to an HSA. He loves that idea. So it was a fun meeting. It was a great example. I told that group it may have been one of the best meetings I've ever attended on the Hill, because he is just such a huge fan of everything that we do. And even if there's points that, you know, we may differ with him on, they have spent the time and the energy to set up meetings where he knows every single one of the members in the room on a first name basis. And he respects their opinion and he wants to hear it. So I hope that each of our chapters can get to that point with their representative or senator to where they have that relationship in place. I know it's difficult, especially in this year. We had so many freshmen.
Over 100 new members of Congress this year.
But in a way, that presents a wonderful opportunity. You know, there is, you can level set the playing field and go in and really just let them know. And that was kind of the point of my opening message for the conference, was you want to share those stories that you experience in your home with your clients and make sure that they know that when there's a question that comes to their attention in Congress and they need someone to consult with and someone who can maybe help them understand what is happening, we want to be the solution for them. Finally, the takeaway from our visit with Representative Gohmert was that his health policy assistant, who was also in the meeting, had been wondering if the specific legislation on the HIT tax and Cadillac tax had dropped yet. And when we were able to give him a specific bill number for that, which was HR 748, then the response was immediate. We will get that printed on the representative's desk for him to review and hopefully co-sponsor it. So that was a great takeaway. And it also goes to show that sometimes the staff is just as important for those meetings, because they're the ones that make recommendations, and generally those recommendations end up being followed by the member.
Yeah, it's really important to remember. I know sometimes our members go into the meetings and they get a little discouraged if they don't see the congressperson or the senator there. But those meetings with the staff sometimes are just as, or if not more important, than meeting with the member of Congress themselves.
After the Hill visits on Tuesday afternoon, NAHU members were also invited to attend the HUPAC Top of the Hill reception. For Capitol Conference attendees who didn't make it to the Top of the Hill reception, what are they missing?
This is one of the best events, I think. I mean, all of the events are wonderful, but I particularly love this event. Number one, it supports HUPAC, and HUPAC is such a vital part of our association. So I personally feel that every member should be contributing to HUPAC. Specifically for this reception, there was a contribution requirement in order to attend, but in exchange for that, you get valuable face-to-face time with representatives from your area. NAHU staff does a wonderful job of matching up the representatives who show for this event with the constituents that are present in the room. And so you can literally just be sitting there for 30 minutes to an hour chit-chatting with a member of Congress. And it's amazing because there are very few times when that opportunity would normally arise. And I think that this is definitely one of the most fun events that NAHU puts on.
And this year, not only did we invite a record number of members of Congress, but we had a record number of NAHU members in attendance, which really helped to drive up those numbers for HUPAC. During the conference, we were able to meet our HUPAC fundraising goal of $100,000, and attendance at this event definitely helped to get us there. So I will echo Jessica's comments and the importance of giving to HUPAC, but also some of the things that you are able to get in return, like access to some of these members of Congress during this reception, where we do match up folks from their constituencies, but I know some others like to do some policy nerd fan sightings and like to see some of the politicians that come from different states, but do respect that the constituents are those that need to be speaking with them. So it's a really fun event for everyone.
Attendees who miss out on networking at the HUPAC reception have plenty of chances to meet with other agents from throughout the country and bounce ideas off of one another. Can you tell us more about these opportunities throughout the conference?
Absolutely. So one of the very first events that kicks off the conference is the HUPAC Vanguard Council bowling party. And that is always a really fun event because you can put on your bowling shoes and, you know, it doesn't matter if you're throwing some gutter balls or not. Everybody's having a great time. It's also a fundraiser for HUPAC. So they do sell raffle tickets and do drawings, which is always fun when there's a little competition to be had. And it just gives everyone a chance to unwind before we all get down to business the next morning and raise money for a wonderful cause again through HUPAC.
And other than that, I know a lot of folks go over to the sponsors lounge for breakfast in the mornings and during some breaks and have a chance to network and further their conversations there. So we're very grateful to our sponsors, UMB, Mercer, LifeSecure, Usio, and Pinnacle Financial Services. Also in the sponsors lounge, we did have some guest appearances by NAHU's own Dan Sampson, the voice of the Healthcare Happy Hour, who was helping to subscribe members to the podcast. So we're very grateful for that. And for those of you who stopped by and subscribed to the podcast, welcome.
Why should somebody who hasn't come to Capitol Conference begin making their plans for next year?
Other than the speakers that we've just mentioned, we were also really grateful to have some great headliners as members of Congress. Gallagher and Perlmutter came and talked about transparency legislation that they would like to see. We had Representative Angie Craig come as a freshman member of Congress.
She was so well received.
She energized the crowd and was amazing. Talked specifically about a lot of our issues from her previous positions in the private market, working with a lot of the issues that we deal with every day.
I remember she made the comment that there's probably not another member of Congress who has specifically read CMS notices and bulletins and inpatient and outpatient coding procedures, and she has. So I think our audience definitely appreciated her depth of knowledge, even though she readily admitted she does not know everything.
Yes, and the fact that our audience appreciated that she read all of those things and knew what they were. This might be the only audience she's ever been able to say that in front of, and they knew what she was talking about. So this is an event where you you can see members of Congress, members of the administration come and speak to you about the things that you do every day and what impacts your everyday life with your clients, the ways that you're able to look out for them and look at ways that we can help to protect our consumers and put in regulations that are helpful that will control costs, increase competition and access to care, but also help to promote the employer-sponsored health market and to prevent us from going into a single-payer or Medicare for All system.
We also changed up the agenda just slightly from the prior years. Previously, we had had the very popular Compliance Corner breakout session, and it was just such a popular session. People sometimes felt like they couldn't attend Compliance Corner and the other sessions that they wanted to participate, which, by the way, if you're interested in that, we do have CapCon Plus available.
Yes.
If you'd like to purchase that. But I wanted to mention that the change that we made this year, and as a former member of the Compliance Corner Committee, this was near and dear to my heart. We did have them on the main stage, and we had 7 different compliance specialists, attorneys, ERISA attorneys, you know, people that are working in our space take questions. And that's always a popular session because you are getting such a huge scope of expertise with that group. And it's such a valuable working group that we have, and the members love it. So that was a fun change for this year.
Yes, and I think the increase in compliance questions that we've been getting, not just at the conference, but also through the Compliance Corner Hub on our website, is indicative of this administration. During President Trump's State of the Union, he said that his administration has cut more regulations than any other administration. And we're seeing that we are very busy going through these proposed rules, and as they're finalized, helping to make sure folks are in compliance. And it's showing that our members are paying attention to that because they're having questions that apply specifically to how these rules are being implemented and how to make sure that their clients are in compliance. And we've been very busy getting back to those folks. I do have help doing that from Maratha Sparrow, Weatherhead, and Lent, who are some ERISA attorneys that help with us to get back to you on your compliance questions that are submitted through the hub. Specifically, Stacey Barrow and Peter Marathis are the experts that help us. And you can read more about them as well as our other compliance experts on the Compliance Corner on our website, where there are bios of all of those that help out with the resources that we're able to provide there.
Attendees that were here at CapCon actually had the opportunity to hear from Stacey in person. And so I think that is helpful to know, you know, the attorney that when you send a compliance question to NAHU, you know the face of the person that may be sending you the answer back. So that was a fun change as well.
Finally, it's time for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hours Toast of the Week. Jessica, what are we toasting to this week?
This week's toast is to Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar. We were so happy to have him in attendance. And if you missed, be sure to register for CapCon for 2020, and hopefully you'll get another chance to see another high-profile government official.
Cheers!
Thank you for joining us for this week's installment of the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. For more information on NAHU's government affairs efforts, or to join as a member of NAHU, visit nahu.org.